We're on page number 10 tonight, page number 10 in our study book, page number 10. We actually finished up at page number 10. Are you able to get rid of this part, or you don't know how to get rid of that part?
I think it's the up arrow.
You've got to speak nicely for
the whole back foot up arrow.
There you go. You did it. Okay. So last week we were talking about some securing helpful tools to help you in your Bible study. And we ended up talking about getting a good King James Bible with large print and that could be a help to you. And so that's where we left off. Now, we're start on page number 11. The second point here is to get a good Bible app or Bible software. All right, now just for my own sake, so I know who I'm talking to, how many of you actually have either Bible software or Bible app on your phone? Okay, most of you do. All right, the rest of you need to do something or be like Melody and doesn't know how to turn the computer on. So, but I'll talk about this in just a minute, but let me talk about what we have in here in our notes first of all. Working on a computer is much easier than on your phone, all right? So if you're still working on trying to do it all on your phone, have at it. There's better than nothing, but it's a whole lot easier on the computer because you got a lot more space, you got the whole keyboard, and providing that you know how to type, it makes things a lot easier. And this on the screen here is a copy of my screen from the Word Bible software. It's called THE, well, it's in your notes here, theword.net. And it's absolutely free, and it's a great program. It's a fantastic program. I use it every single day. And it's got a lot of good stuff in it. There's another one that is very similar called eSword. And eSword is readily available and free as well. They also have a Mac version of eSword. So if you use a Mac, you can check out that eSword. And there's another one called Blue Letter Bible that is a good online tool. And it's just blueletterbible.org. And that's similar in some ways. I don't think it's got some good tools, and occasionally sometimes I'll actually go on there and look for stuff that I couldn't find on mine, just by way of extra tools. But for the most part, this is a whole lot easier and a lot more user-friendly as far as I'm concerned. They've got a lot of stuff on the Bible, Blue Letter Bible, that I don't use very much. Then also on your phone, all right? So how many of you actually have it on the computer? All right, three of you. And the rest of you have it on your phone or not at all. So on the phones, Android phone, probably the best program I know of is MySword. Unless you're going to pay for them, there's some other ones you can pay for that are good quality ones. But the free ones, MySword is very good, and it runs a lot like this. In fact, the files off of this can actually go right onto MySword now. They've made them compatible, which makes it really nice. And but with MySword, if you want that, you actually have to. There's no app for it, and the reason there's no app, I contacted the author, and he said, you wouldn't believe how much work it is to try to keep that app up to date all the time. He said, it's just a terrible amount of work. He says, I just gave up on it, and just they can go to the website and get it that way. And so the website is in your notes here. It's just mysword.info, and then you can download it there, and from there, put it onto your phone. It's not hard, but that's a very good app. And it works much like this one here. On an iPhone or an iPad, eSword has an app. Blue Letter Bible also has an app. And those are both good options for you if you have that. Now, one of the things to look for when you're looking for it, you need to find one that has the Strong's numbers in it. Now, all these little numbers here that you see on the screen, the blue numbers, those are called Strong's numbers. Now, the reason they're called Strong isn't because they're tough. But a guy named Strong years ago went through the whole Bible and gave a number to every word in the Bible. And those numbers then can be used for helping you to identify things. So, for instance, in this screen here, if you click on this G758 next to the word ruler, it brings up the definition down here in the definition window, and that's a ruler, a commander, a chief, or a leader. All right. So those numbers, you can click on any of those numbers, and it'll bring up the definitions in your definition window. And different apps do it slightly different, but they all work similar to that. So you need a program that has the numbers in it. You know, there's a lot of Bible programs out there that all they do is read the Bible, or they've got the Bible for you, but they don't have any of this kind of stuff. They're not much help to you as far as really studying. John?
Just a quick question, because I actually know that some people that use Arbor programs, they use different languages. It's what they're familiar with. Does the Strong's keys translate in a multilingual way? Like, for example, if you did Dutch or something?
Yes, they do, depending on the language module. If they've put it embedded it into the language module, yes, it'll work fine. In fact, I'll show you in the next screen. I've got my Greek one up here, and it's got it embedded into the Greek module as well. Okay, so it works great for that. All right, any other questions?
Here. Just a comment on that. I looked at that on the website, and there is a whole section of adding language modules.
Yes. 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 If on the Word Bible program, like Garrett said, on their website, there's a lot of languages. They've got the Bible in a lot of languages. So if English, they might even have it in Japanese. I don't know. They got it in all kinds of languages. All right, and so you can look on there and see. There's several. Well, there's biblical Hebrew and Greek, but there's also a lot of other languages as well. Okay, very good point. Thank you. Any other questions about that? All right, so that's one of the main things that you're going to want to look for in a Bible program on your app and that kind of thing, is it needs to be able to look up that. It needs to also be able to have dictionaries. Now, I've got my dictionaries actually split into two sections. These are called lexicons, which are, they give definitions of the Greek and Hebrew words. These down here are actually Bible dictionaries, where you could just look up a word like Jericho, and it would give you information on that topic. All right. These are more topical dictionaries. These are more grammar dictionaries. But normally they're mixed together, but I split them for my own personal ease on there. But that's what you really need. Most of them, if they also have some of this kind of stuff, they're going to have commentaries as well. So you got commentary over here that tells you all the kind of different things. So in this particular one, while I'm right here, I might as well talk about it. All right, I've got up John chapter 3. All right, verse number 1. It's highlighted because that's the verse that I was sitting on. And then, as I showed you already, you can get the definition. You can click any of these numbers here, and it'll bring up the definition down here so you can get a further, more in-depth understanding of what the word is. You can also click on the name, like Nicodemus, and I pulled up a definition down here in the Bible dictionary part of it. Tells you about Nicodemus, a whole big paragraph. And all these different ones here talk about Nicodemus if they're highlighted. So in this particular program, it actually highlights the modules that have an answer to the thing you clicked on. This one here, only Easton's Bible Dictionary did. Some of the others apparently didn't have anything about Nicodemus. All right. Then also, the commentary one, anytime you rotate through these, it'll rotate through the commentaries according to the same verse. So you go down to verse number 3, and it'll bring up verse 3 over here. And these are all the commentaries. All the ones that are highlighted in bright yellow are ones that have a specific commentary on the verse. The ones that are in light yellow have it in a series, maybe verses 1 to 5. And then you just got to scroll down and find it. So not all of them are verse-by-verse ones. Barnes is a verse-by-verse. Poole is verse-by-verse. Gill is verse-by-verse. Some of them are verse-by-verse ones. Other ones are, you know, section-by-section. So they're the ones that are in the light yellow, the ones that are section-by-section. And then this down here is... These are just books. There's loads of free books you can get with this, all kinds of them. And I've loaded a lot of them, and these are pull-down menus here, and I've got loads of books underneath each one of those. But anyway, this one here is on the Gospel of John. So here, when I started the book of John, all right, you can come down here, and this tells just information about the book of John, and you can go down through that. But there's lots of other things you can look at through here that... You know, doctrinal ones. Even here I've got my notes. These are things that I've put in there. When I find a good article on the web, I'll put it in here and I'll put it under my notes so that then I've got the article there. The next time I go back in there it is again. And that's very, very handy. So this is an exceptionally good program to help you in your Bible study. And so I strongly encourage you to either, ideally, do it on a computer. If you can't do it on your computer, do it on your phone. And you can do most of this stuff. Like if you're a Mysore, you can do most of this stuff on your phone. It's just a little bit more clumsy because you don't have a big screen. You got to do it all with your fingers. But it's capable. Now, if you cannot get a Bible app or software and you don't know anything about using any of that kind of stuff, then some basic things you're going to need. You're going to need a Bible dictionary. All right? Bible dictionaries, there's lots of different kinds of Bible dictionaries. Probably, in my opinion, one of the very best ones you can get is Unger's Bible Dictionary. I wish I had it on here, but it's a copyrighted one, and they haven't been able to get permission to put it on here yet. On here, I've got Easton's Bible Dictionary, which is a pretty good one, Moorish Bible Dictionary, Fawcett's Bible Dictionary, Smith's Bible Dictionary. These are pretty good dictionaries, but Unger's Bible Dictionary is probably one of the best. It's about this thick. It's got all kinds of articles in it. You can look up anything you want in there about the Bible. You know, you look up Achan, and it's going to have a whole article on Achan. And you look up Jerusalem, and it'll have pages on Jerusalem. It tells you all about it. It's got maps in the back, all kinds of things. And along with that, you're going to need some sort of a Bible atlas where you can look up maps and things of that nature. On the Bible program here, I've got maps here. I can click on that, and it brings up maps. They're not the greatest maps on this program, but they're suitable. But there's others if you're interested in maps. The one that I used to create the nice maps we were using during Jeremiah, that program, I actually found out the other day that they've actually got one that works right on the, you don't have to even have the program loaded in your computer. It's right on a web thing. You can go on there and type in Jericho, and it'll show you right where Jericho was and has the map all up there. And so it's really a cool little program that they have there. So you'll need something about a Bible dictionary, an atlas of some sort. Now, a concordance. A concordance is, well, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is a concordance. So what that means is if I clicked on this verse and then I clicked on Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, it would bring up a whole list of verses here that were related to this verse. And a concordance, if you were to open up a concordance, say you wanted to find where in the Bible does it say that, where does it talk about Ananias? I can't find it. I don't know where it is. Well, you go to your concordance, you look up Ananias, and it'll show you all the verses, if you get a big concordance, it'll show you all the verses where Ananias is mentioned in the Bible, and say, oh yeah, that one, there's the one I wanted, and you can look it up. All right, so that's the old slow way to do it, and you know, I would never want to go back to that. Once you got this, all I have to do is, you know, bring up the search window and type in Ananias, and just like that, and I've got every verse in the Bible that talks about Ananias. So that's what's really nice about a software, whether it's this one or your phone app. It'll help you greatly in finding things. But that's what a concordance is. In the back of any good Bible, you're going to have a concordance. I've got a concordance in the back of my Bible. If you want to see what it looks like, you're welcome. The ones in the back of the Bible are not a complete concordance, though. I mean, the back of my Bible is about that thick. But if you get a complete concordance, it's about that thick. So it's got every word in the Bible and helps you to find them. But it's still very slow and very clumsy compared to using software. Software is super fast and easy. And then also another thing you're going to need is some sort of a notebook for taking notes. On this one here, I can take my own notes. I save notes in various ones. This one here is where I keep my daily Bible reading notes in it. When I find something in my daily devotions, I'll put them in that one there. I put notes up here in another one. I've got one in the commentary section that I keep notes in as well, and I keep notes over here. So it's easy to put your notes in here. Now, why put notes on a Bible program? All right? Any ideas? Why would I do that? Garrett?
So you can go back to it again?
Yes. Especially if I'm going to create one. If I want to link to the verse, what I do is I create one that is a commentary. And then, every time I go back to that verse, there's my note. It brings it right up here. Every single time I go back to that verse, there's my note. And so I don't lose that. If I make it down in here, then it'll have a list of topics or things of that nature, and then I can find my notes. Like over here, and this one here, I've got scores, I don't know, probably 100 and 150 different topics. And I can go down through the topics. Maybe I want something on marriage. And I'll click on here, go down to marriage, and I've got four or five articles on marriage, and I can click on them, and they're there. So keeping the notes is very, very helpful. You can keep them in a notebook, but then you got to find your notebook, and you got to find out, where did I put that? And I don't remember where it was. And you look and look and look, and you spend half an hour looking for what you wrote in your notebook. Easy on here, tough on a notebook, but you need something. Another option, as I've said before, is write notes in the margins of your Bible. All right? You got to write small. I find that the best thing to write in your Bible with is a small pacer. a fine point pacer pencil. That probably was one of the best things. I've wrecked some, well, I shouldn't say wrecked, but I made a mess of some of my Bibles earlier on when I was younger by using pens. And if you use the wrong kind of pen, especially a red pen, never use a red pen in your Bible because they bleed. And after 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden you got the same thing written on the back side of the page as you had on the front side of the page in reverse. And it makes a mess of your Bible. So ink isn't the best option. Pencil works pretty good. Okay? But writing notes in there, even if it's just a reference or it's a couple words or it's a definition, it can be a great help to you because you can find it again the next time. Okay? So Bible apps and software are very, very important for Bible study. Okay, any questions about this? All right, now what I'm going to do, did you give me that or you still got, Peter, you still got the toy? All right, can you put it on the other one for me, please?
Okay.
Probably not. We'll try it anyway. This one here. There you go. Oh, that's where we just were. Sorry.
Am I just still able to fix it? Okay.
Don't tell him that. He already tried it before and it didn't work. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he tried that before, and then it messed it all up. All right, here's another picture of the same screen. All right, but I want to show you a couple things it'll do. If you get this, and you can actually split this screen, so you have two different Bibles, Bible versions at the same time. In this case, I've got the King James here, and right next to it, I've got my Greek interlinear. Now, what an interlinear is something very important to you, because you don't have to know any Greek or Hebrew to use an interlinear. This is really cool because it's got all the it's got the Greek words in black, and then the blue words are the English words, a literal translation of the English words. And so that's really helpful. Plus, it's got the definitions here on all the numbers, so you can click on those and get the same numbers definitions down here. Plus, it's got the parsing. The P-A-R is a parsing, so it'll tell you whether it's a noun or a verb or a present active indicative and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't know what that means, you can learn and look it up. But it's really helpful when you're studying, because if you find a word, maybe it's an imperative. The word imperative means it's a command. And so these are some things very helpful. So an interlinear is excellent for you. If you just had, I've got one up here that's just, maybe it isn't showing there, but it's just the Greek text, that would mean nothing to you if you don't understand Greek. All right, so that's kind of a waste of your time. But this one here is excellent for you. So these two work together, and as it goes up, this one goes up, and they work hand in hand. Now, the same thing, I can click on the word synagogue here, and it brings it up down here in the definition thing. Also, if I click on synagogue, if I have this one linked to it, it brought up synagogue over here in Bible customs. All right, so I've got a Bible customs thing that brought that up here. It gives you more information about that. So there's all kinds of things that are linked to. And then the numbers are, of course, linked down to here. The commentaries. Now, this one here is another commentary you can get. It's actually not a commentary. I forget what it's called, TGC. The Gospels Compared. All right, the Gospels Compared. So it's got all three of them. So when you're in Mark chapter 3, it shows you Mark 3, and then the same things in Matthew and the same things in Luke. That's really helpful. That's a really cool thing to have there. Very beneficial, and you can scroll through it, and so you can read all the verses that are on the same story in all the different Gospels. And if it's in John 2, it'll bring that one up in there as well. And then this one down here is your commentary window. And this particular one that's opened here is Wiest and his commentary on that verse. Okay? So any questions about that? So it's basically the same as the other, but there's lots of options here. You can customize it any way that suits your liking. You don't have to all these windows. You can only have one window if you want, or you can have three or two or whatever you want. You can change all that. All that's customizable. So it's really good.
I was messing around a little bit with the colors.
Yep.
You can change the background color.
Yes.
The text color.
Yes.
Even if you click on a person, it'll highlight the color.
Yes.
Everything if you want.
Yeah, you can change the colors. Some of these you can kind of see that's a little bit of a yellow. It didn't show up too much. But I do have some of the backgrounds changed for different things. But yeah, you can do that. You can change the font size. You can change the font shape. You can the type. You can change all kinds of stuff. It's very customizable. Okay? All right. So, enough of that, but you can see there what the advantages are there. Now, back to our notes here. We need to get familiar with the names of the Bible. And I'm not going to look up all of the references we have here tonight, but we'll look up some of them and encourage you to follow along here. What this is it's, you know, as you're reading the Bible, you're going to find places where it talks about different, gives different names to the Bible. So it's good for us to know that it's talking about the Bible when you read those names. 2 Corinthians is where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 6, it says, "And who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." All right? So it's talking about the New Testament. So it calls the Scriptures the New Testament. And then there's the rest of the verse. We won't read the rest of that. But then on down in the same chapter, verse number 14, it says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." So here we got in the same chapter, it talks about the New Testament and the Old Testament. All right? So that's a helpful distinction in the Scriptures. Then also, the Bible is called the Scriptures. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." Now this is when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, and after his resurrection, and he expounded to them all the things in all the Scriptures. All right, so it uses the word Scripture. But notice there also, we'll touch on this again in a moment, but he says there, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. What did he mean, beginning at Moses? What do you mean? The law, the first five books of the Bible, written by Moses. So they're just called beginning at Moses. He didn't just mean the man Moses, he meant the books of Moses. So beginning at the books of Moses and all the prophets wasn't just a bunch of names of prophets. He was talking about all the other books of the Old Testament that were called the prophets. So the whole Old Testament is generally divided into Moses and the prophets. All right. So Moses, the first five books, and the rest of the Old Testament was called prophets. Now, more technically, some of them weren't really prophetic books. They were, you have the Psalms, there were the poem books rather than the prophetic books. Right? But they are in general terms just called Moses and the prophets. All right. Now, there's other verses there that all speak to the same thing there concerning the Scriptures, but I do want to look at one. Let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. This one here is quite unique. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. Notice carefully what he says here. "And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest," or they have a hard time figuring them out, "as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction." Now, what is unique about this? What is there about those two verses that are very important for us to catch? That's right. He says, Paul wrote all these things, or some of them is hard to understand, as well as the other Scriptures. So they're saying here, Paul's writings were Scriptures. Alright, so that's very important. But it calls them the Scriptures, so referring to the Bible. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that. Now, back in the referring to the Word of God. Sometimes it's called the Word of God. Sometimes it's called the Word of the Lord. Chronicles there talks about the Word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is one that maybe you are familiar with. It says, Hebrews 4:12, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's talking about the word of God. So many times throughout the Bible, you'll hear the word of the Lord or the word of God. It's talking about the scriptures once again. Another name for the Bible. And then the law and the prophets. We saw also how Moses was called, the books of Moses and the Old Testament prophets. But let's see again here in John chapter 1, verse 45. We'll look at that verse. John chapter 1, verse number 45. John 1, 45. All right. John 1, 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. All right, so he's referring to the Old Testament Bible, and he called it Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets. Okay, in this case, he actually says Moses in the law, so we know that it does refer to those first five books, the books of the law. Okay, so that's another description of the Bible. Another one that is not nearly as common is oracles, the oracles of God. And oracles are the words of God that are generally brief. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2. Romans 3 and verse number 2. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The oracles of God. Brief statements from God. All right, again referring to the scriptures. Now, you'll also find that the scriptures were called the parchments. Now, these parchments were dressed skins so they would take an animal skin and they would clean it up and scrape all the hair off of it and tan it and make it soft and pliable and as thin as possible. And then they would use that for writing on it for books. They didn't have paper like we do now. But that was called parchments. And these would likely be copies of the Old Testament when Paul referred to the parchments. Parchment being more expensive than the papyrus. Much of the Bible was written on papyrus. Papyrus was a primitive paper made from some of the plants in Egypt. I believe they were reeds. In Egypt, they would somehow mash them up and make paper out of them. It was pretty coarse stuff, and it wasn't as good a quality as the parchments were. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13, the cloak that I left, Paul speaking here, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Right, he's talking about the scriptures, probably Old Testament scriptures. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine how thick our Bible would be if it was all written on skins? Whew, that'd be quite a load to drag around. That would be a big Bible. So it probably wasn't the entire Old Testament, but he had some of that. So some titles. I specifically had us sing tonight the song from Psalm 19, 7 through 9. And in that psalm, we find that it's called the law, the first five books of the Bible, Psalm 19, 7, and the testimony. The word testimony refers to the written words of God with emphasis on warning, and the statutes. You know, and you might even find, this is something that you might find helpful to actually pencil into your Bible margin, because it's very easy to forget these things here that I've researched, and I'm telling you right now. In fact, I need to pencil it into my margins as well. I've got some of it in there, but not quite as much as I need. But the law was the books of Moses. Testimony was the written warnings. The statutes were general terms for the responsibilities that God placed on his people. So he would give them statutes. These are your duties. This is what you're supposed to do. So there are statutes in the scripture. And then verse 8 again talks about the commandments. Well, these are the demands, the imperatives, the laws. And then there were the verse 9, the judgments, which dealt with divine decisions. When God made a divine decision to do something, those were his judgments. And the precepts were guides or rules for morals. The precepts, the moral guides. This is what God wants you to do. Okay? So these are the basic things. Now, so this helps to understand, you know, the different terms that are spoken of that refer to the Bible. Why? Now, what can we take with us tonight that can be of help to us? Well, one of the things that I want you to do as in your homework things here, the practice time, is to get, either if you don't have software yet, get some software. If you do have software, then get to know it. Get to understand it. The better you understand your Bible software, the more usable it is, obviously. So spend some time just looking up some things and checking some things and looking up verses and looking up the definitions. And just do some practice. And it'll be a great help to you in getting to know your Bible better. Because this is how you can study the Bible. Every day when I'm do my Bible time with just me and God, I go in here and I click on this one down here that's called 2021 BR, my Bible reading schedule that I've created. And you can create a Bible reading schedule in here, any kind you want. And I've created it. So then I click on that and it brings up what I'm going to read over here and I can read through it. And if I need to make any notes, I can put my notes over here and all that kind of stuff. I can look up definitions down here. And it's very practical, very easy to use, very efficient. And you can do it on your phone apps too, but it's a little more clumsy. Okay? So get used to it. Work in that. And if you don't have a computer or you're not interested in that, then at least keep these things in mind. These are some things that can help you. Get yourself some books so you can look up some definitions. And all those kind of things can be a big help. Okay?